Erev Tov, Rabotai. Okay, so tonight is Tuesday night, and I want to point out, you know, just an observation, that tomorrow night, Be'ezat Hashem, is Tu Bishvat, Aba Aleinu Tova, which Tu Bishvat, along with its, this is my Tuesday night monologue, along with Tu Bishvat's halachic implications and the brachot that we make and the fruits and the vegetables that we partake of, there is another symbolism that's very attached to Tu Bishvat, which is that, as the Torah says, Ki ha'adam itz ha'sadeh, that there's a remez that people are very like trees. And just like for the trees, Tu Bishvat is a time for itchadshut. The Gemara says that by Tu Bishvat, at least in Eretz Yisrael, most of the rain of the year has fallen. The sap of the trees already rises. The sap is like the blood of the tree. It rises to the branches, and things start to grow again. It's a siman for rejuvenation, chachut, renewal. And it's good for us also. You know, Tu Bishvat is, interestingly, situated right smack in the middle of the winter. Winter, obviously, just physically and mentally and emotionally, winter is the hardest season of the year. Cold, dark, you know, you look around, all the trees are dead. There's no, you know, there's much less simanim of life. And Tu Bishvat is right in the middle of that winter, and boom, that's when the Chachamim say that there's this air of hitchadshut, of renewal in the world. So it's important to take musar from that, because sometimes we need that too. You know, before the tree comes into full blossom, there's a process that's going on. It's brewing. It's not in one shot. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You need to, you know, the sap has to go and things have to start cooking. That's the way we have to be also. You know, especially sometimes when we start new beginnings, this is something that gets a little bit under my skin, so I'm going to vent for a second, Bishutim. But it, you know, I think it's important for all of us to internalize this. We're given new beginnings all the time, right? We're given opportunities for new beginnings. After Shabbat, it's a new week. Rosh Chodesh is a new month. Rosh Hashanah is a new year. Every morning is a new day. You know, you have a new zman, a new semester. A new, what, you know what I'm saying? We're given these opportunities for hitchadshut. Use them. Enjoy them. It's a time to, even if you slacked off before, and everybody at some point slacks off, that's just human nature. Just jump back on up. When there's a new beginning, especially if it's a new zman or a new semester or whatever it is, and certain people, like, especially if you're a new talmid in yeshiva, you know what I'm saying, like new things, you're supposed to use that to your benefit. You're supposed to be, you know, even if you're not necessarily the best talmid, but you're supposed to be on fire, like, I'm going to do this and show up and seder and shir and pound and whatever. Usually burnout, quote unquote, happens further into the zman, or at the end of this month. But if burnout or indifference or lack of interest or whatever it is happens at the beginning of his month, or at the, you know, at the beginning of one of these new beginnings, then what are we doing? You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of counterproductive. It says a lot about the person. New beginnings are there to reinvigorate us, to energize us, to give us, to make us enthusiastic. You know, you have to be like, what happens in yeshiva is kind of a model of what happens in real life. I hate to use that term, because yeshiva is real life, but putting that aside, what the world calls real life, when you raise a family and when you have to go to work and all of these things that you have to do, people get into a rut, people go into a slump, you know, all the time also. But you cannot just check out. You know what I'm saying? Imagine a person has a bad day or whatever, something's going on, and he checks out of work. Like, he gets hired to a new job, and then whatever, he just doesn't show up. And then he shows up, like, you know, a few weeks later at the job. Like, the boss is going to say shalom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work like that. You have to be all in. Yes, do things happen where a person gets down, a person gets... Yes, things happen. But not in the beginning. even though kol ha'atchalot kashot, it's true that beginnings are hard. But beginnings are when you have the most energy, when it, at least you're supposed to show the most interest, show the most dedication. That's the most important time. I'm not saying that it's okay to slack off any other time, but especially in the beginning, it shows it's not a good midah. That's, if you're here now and listening to this, that means that you're not part of that group. That's a good thing. That means you care about Night Seder. That means that you care about your Limud Torah. That means that you care about your Avodat Hashem. You know, unfortunately, there are people who don't as much. And it's not a good midah. Don't learn from that. Don't get rubbed off by these midot of, you know, nonchalance. You know what that means? Like, just kind of flow through life. No. Huh? Yeah, don't just... But I want to use a mashal. I hate to use it, but... You know the only fish that specifically swim downstream?
Sardines.
No, dead fish. Dead fish can't swim upstream. They can't swim against the current because they're dead. In order to swim upstream, if you see a fish swimming upstream, you know it's alive because it's got to be alive. You know what I'm saying? If a person just kind of, you know, I'm going downstream with wherever life takes me, that's not a siman of life. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah, I don't like to compare people to... It's good because it packs the mussar, but show life, show invigoration. Every morning, Shtabach Shemo, it's a zchut to show up to a tefillah. You show up to a tefillah b'tzibul, you defeated your tzara, you got out of bed, and now I came to a minyan. First thing you do in the day is you get out of bed. That's fight number one, that you won the match, and then you show up to a tefillah b'tzibul to be Mishabeach umhalil laHakadosh Baruch Hu. It's a big deal. And then your day kind of follows suit. You keep on winning. You know what I'm talking about? Whereas if a person starts his day defeated, you didn't wake up for a tefillah, you quickly put on tefillin and say Kriyat Shema Amida, and then you just like kind of roll into Seder or not, like something that the cat just dragged in. You know what I'm saying? The rest of your day kind of follows suit. Start your day right. Start your zman right. Start your week right. The beginnings are there to... They're gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're there to infuse us with Hatzlacha. That's what I have to say for this evening. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for some questions. And then, by the way, I'll tell you, it's a big zchut. In yeshiva, when I went to yeshiva, in the Mir Yeshiva, we didn't have like this... We had... Musar Vadim and Shmuzin and stuff like that, but we didn't have like a Mesudar thing like once a week that we could sit down with a Rebbe or a Shiva, a Mashgiach or whatever and ask whatever was on our mind. In order to really learn from your Rebbe, you had to hang out with him a lot and, you know, ask him questions between Shiurim and you know what I'm saying? It's a zchut. I'm not saying because of me. Not because of me. I'm just a keli to transfer what I got from my Rebbeim to you. That's all I am. But I think it's a zchut that you have something mesudar once a week, and you have a whole week to formulate all of the things that are on your mind and ask questions and get da Torah on certain things. That's huge. That's... Not everybody has that, is what I'm telling you. Even in like real, serious, established yeshivas, it's not always a thing, is what I'm telling you. So without further ado... I don't have this one, so... Who's up?
In regards to what the Rav was just speaking about, how does one know when to like learn Bechavruta, their Sadarim, versus coming to a Shir or a Chabura that a Rav is giving in Yeshiva? And then is there any difference in regards to like a Halacha Shir or a Hashkafa Shir? Like, how does one know where he's at, when to stop, or...
Okay, so first of all, disclaimer. I'm not telling anybody to come to any of my shiurim, any of my chaburas. You know what I'm saying? It's open for whoever wants, whenever you, you know what I'm saying? You're big boys. I'm not forcing you to, you know what I'm saying? I'm here because I want to teach. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to give over. So if a person feels that his learning will be more effective in by learning with chavrus or even learning by himself something else that he's learning, matov manayim. If somebody feels that you want to hear about a certain topic or you want to hear about a certain, you want to come to Ashkafavad because you feel, you know what I'm saying? It's Isha Yashar Ve'enav Yaseh. I'm saying, you got to be a night seder. You got to do something. You got to learn something. But I'm not here to tell you come or not. It's really what your heart tells you. If you're learning all day shtark and you need a break and you need to hear somebody else talk as opposed to sitting down, okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, I don't consider this low quality learning. I consider what we do together to be high quality. Even when it's a little bit calmer, you know, through Hashkafavad or whatever it is, Musar also needs to be learned by Yum. Internalizing Musar is also something that requires effort. So the answer to that is, I'm not going to tell you when. Something that you feel, and then you, it's here for you to take advantage of. Not only my chabura, all of the chaburas that are going on. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Okay, good.
Does that stop it? No, does that stop the recording?
So question for the Rav. Rav was talking about burnouts, right? And starting off on the wrong foot. For someone who wants to start off on the right foot, he wants to do everything. He had previous struggles with like minyanim, shiurim. How does he make sure he doesn't overload himself?
So our day is structured in a way that there are enough breaks, enough downtime to kind of chill. And even if a person needs a little bit more outlet or whatever, you can take that. But the way our day is structured with tefillah and seder, break and shir, tefillah, second seder or limudei chol, seder again, meaning it's not such a rigorous thing. It just requires dedication. It's not, if a person feels that he's being, now again, I'm not, especially when you're in college, the workload can be immense. I get it. Between Seder, meaning the Limudei Kodesh, and the workload from Limudei Chol, I get that it can be overwhelming sometimes. There are, now sometimes you need to make all sorts of techniques to help you manage your time, manage your stress. There's all sorts of things that people do for that. You think because I'm not in college, I'm not stressed out? There's stress at every juncture in life. Make no mistake. And it's good practice. Being overwhelmed and finding an outlet to deal with it, healthy. Running away and shutting down, not healthy. Because that's not good chinuch for life, again. Because life is full of stressors. And the shaila is, what do you do with it? You know what I'm saying? That's the, if a person needs personal help or personal navigation for dealing with an extraordinary amount of stress or overwhelming emotions or whatever it is, okay, reach out, seek help, whatever it is. I get it. But in general, the day is structured in a way that you have all the healthy breaks. And even during Seder, you're not locked into Seder. You can go out, get a coffee, you know, take a breath of fresh air, whatever. Don't bottle the whole Seder, obviously, but you know what I'm saying? There's a coffee room adjacent to the Beis Medrash for a reason. You know what I'm saying? A person has to learn bina'imut, pleasantness. It has to be enjoyable. It's difficult. It requires toil. Amal Torah. But it also requires diracheh adarchinoam v'chonetimutei ha'shalom. It requires that pleasantness. If you feel like you're always bogged down, so you're not going to be matzliach. But if you feel like a sense of purpose, that is this, obviously with Siyata Dishmaya, that is the Yisod for Hatzlacha. Yeah, anyone else?
Yeah. Okay, this is very random. Is there like any inyan regarding someone's Hebrew birthday? Like,
meaning what?
I don't know, tefillah and all that stuff.
So, the Ben Ishai in Parashat Re'eh discusses birthdays And he actually writes that in his household, birthdays, obviously Hebrew, were celebrated, and they made a seuda, and brachot were given out, because it is a symbolic day. It's the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided for a person to come into the world. So a person has, you know, an extra element of si'ata dishmaya. That's why some people ask for bracha from a birthday boy or girl or whatever it is. Mikol makom, so it's, sometimes people make it that it is like a pagan thing. It's not. Like Goyish. Ben Ish Chai celebrated his birthday. Agaon Chatam Sofer celebrated. There's a letter that one day at Shir, the Talmidim brought the Chasam Sofer a cake for his birthday. A birthday cake. And he didn't tell them, no, it's good. They made a matzav, and he accepted it. That shows that there is some significance to birthdays. Again, don't overly, like, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's certainly, okay, this is a different topic altogether. Definitely minimize the celebration on secular birthdays, because secular birthdays are really Christian birthdays. So really, it's not so much cause for celebration, but like if a person wants to acknowledge a secular birthday, it's okay. It's not asul lefi halacha. But really, the acknowledgement, the real acknowledgement, should be on a person's Hebrew birthday. Anyone else?
What would one gain more, as in like putting in his time? Like, let's say like I have an hour or two, like Ben Astonim. Should one Chazer say their Iyun more, or should one Chazer say their Bekiyut? Or even like if one's doing like Mishnah Berurah, like Shachanal Mishnah Berurah, should he Chazer? Like, what's going to be the most like beneficial to one's skills in learning?
So, as always, it's relative to where that particular person is holding in his learning career. First of all, during the breaks, during Ben Asdarim, I think it's also healthy to have a nice amount of relaxation, even if it's lighter learning, or if you need to lay down, whatever. Very, very select few. I'm not going to tell you don't learn during Ben Asdarim, right? Because, like, if me telling you not to learn at any point, that's just kfira, you know what I'm saying? But what I will tell you is that you need to relax during Ben Asdarim, you know what I'm saying? Just chill. Now, if part of that chill is an easier, more enjoyable kind of learning, go for it. Or if you feel adequate, if you have a break for 2 hours and you feel adequately chilled after half an hour, okay, go back to learn. You know what I'm saying? What should a person focus on in learning? If a person's at the beginning of his derech and needs more, we'll call it skill sharpening when it comes to iyun, when it comes to reading a gemara, when it comes to breaking down a tosfot, focus on that. Chazar Sashir, you know, things of that nature. If a person is more seasoned, you know, you're pretty good at your Gemara skills, Gemara Nashi Tosafot Mefarshim, I would tell you, especially among the Sfaradim, broaden your horizons. Learn things that there's not a set curriculum for in yeshiva. Learn more halakha. Learn more whatever it is that you're into. You know what I'm saying? Broaden your horizons and learn it. You don't necessarily have to stick to only what the curriculum of the yeshiva is, because that's just that's the baseline. That's what you start with. And then, you know, you take it from there. So it really all depends on where the person is. If you want, you can split up your time, you know, for 20 minutes. Let's say you have an hour that you have to learn during your break. So 20 minutes, you do Chazer Shir or Musar or Iyun Slicha. 20 minutes you do Bekiyas, 20 minutes you do Halacha. You know what I'm saying? Try to apportion your time in a way that you become well-rounded and not just focus on one specific mikzoha. Anyone else?
What does the Rav think about someone who is motivated versus someone that's disciplined? What would the Rav rather have in terms of a character trait?
It's a tough question. I think, off the top of my head, I think discipline is a more important midah to have. Motivation is great. The question is, what do I think is a better midah long term? Motivation or discipline? So motivation is great, but sometimes it can peter out. Sometimes it can get less, depending on different factors. Discipline, same thing can happen with discipline, but in general, if a person leads a disciplined lifestyle, in, not only in the Beis Medrash, not only in Avodat Hashem, but, you know what I'm saying, even outside, like in your dorm, you're clean, you clean your room, you take care of your laundry, you know what I'm saying, you get up at a certain time, you sleep at a certain time. If you live a disciplined lifestyle, you're able to take that skill of being disciplined, and you can then apply it to all aspects of your life, to your Avodat Hashem, and to your secular things, and to everything, because discipline is important everywhere. It's not an ironclad rule, but in general, discipline is more maintainable than just being momentarily motivated. That's what I think. Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah.
Good.
You were first.
You didn't ask a question?
Just a lakot of praying on a phone.
Like from a device?
I don't know, yeah.
So, I don't find praying on the device to be conducive to kavanah, me personally. You know, crazy situations where you're in a place where there's no sidurim and you don't know the tefillah by heart and you can't close your eyes or whatever it is, and you need to daven for a device. Simple halachot are as follows. First of all, the device must be turned onto airplane mode, because otherwise you're going to have things jumping out at you every time during tefillah. You have a WhatsApp, you have a message, you have a phone call, and it's going to keep disturbing your kavanah. So first of all, airplane mode. Second of all, and more importantly, is that there needs to be a filter on the phone. If there's no filter on the phone, it is a chefet shel isur and zasur to pray from a device that doesn't have a filter. In kategor na'asa sanegor. So that's another thing. So I would suggest to everybody, in order, so if you get stuck in a situation where you need to daven on your phone, make sure to get a filter on it, because that's a good segula to be able to daven from your phone. Actually, I'm glad you asked that, because the yeshiva is trying to, I don't know if you ever heard of TAG, the organization, we're trying to get them to come to yeshiva. I have the zchut of being on the rabbinical board of TAG for Queens, so we're trying to get them to come to yeshiva and give a presentation to the rebbeim, and then a presentation to the talmidim, and help facilitate positive change, which is, you know, when you have them on hand, it's easier to make good decisions. So that's what I have to say. Anybody else before we wrap it up? I'm dancing. Go ahead, Michelle. Michelle, go ahead.
Give me a long answer, probably.
Michelle,
when someone is praying for something constantly and it's just not seeing results, I know the basic answer is like just don't stop and keep asking, but okay, what's a more practical answer?
Are you asking me for like a magic solution?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have one, because I work for the same boss you do. And I'm in the same boat you are. And sometimes at some point we all pray for things, and sometimes the answer is not immediate, and sometimes we have to pray for an entire lifetime, and sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes even when the answer is no, the tefillah does make some imprint. Even if it's no for us, the tefillah can trickle down to our children, to our families. You know, we have to... Tefillah is not a magic button that when we push it, Hashem must fulfill our command. Because like I said, we work for Him and not the opposite. It's a way to connect to Him. It's not about what we're asking for, it's about who we're talking to. And when we realize who we're talking to, sometimes even when even when the tefillah wasn't answered, quote-unquote, it becomes easier to deal with whatever it is that we're dealing with, because we know and we're connected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we're davening to. It's all a matter of perspective. That's the short answer. There's a lot more to talk about, but yeah, so that's that. Laila Tov. Have a good night, Chavra. Kol Tov.